Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Happy Friday, Nnamdi!
And a happy Friday, Sonny.
Clash on the dunes on the outskirts of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on Saturday. A world heavyweight title rematch between Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua. Let's begin with the venue, Nnamdi. What can you tell our VOA boxing fans about where this clash on the dunes will be staged?
Well, this fight will happen in the city called Diriyah, an hour out of Riyadh. And the stadium was built in 8 weeks, Sonny, from the scratch. So basically, it wasn't a stadium that would stay after the fight. After the fight, the stadium will be dismantled. But looking at pictures, I looked really, really great. And for the fact that it was done in 8 weeks, fight fans all around the globe will see a beautiful venue. And we hope 15,000 Saudis will come out and enjoy the fight.
Eddie Hearn, the promoter for AJ, says it's a neutral venue for both fighters.
One of the major reasons we're here. The other reason is that Andy Ruiz wanted a neutral venue. You know, the first fight took place in America, where he's from. We were going to do the second one in Cardiff. He didn't want to come to Cardiff. He moaned. He preferred this option. The package was outstanding for both fighters. And I think that when you're talking about a sport like boxing that is so dangerous, is so brutal, no one really has the right to tell a fighter where they can and can't go. And ultimately, a fighter will always look at the package and the purse that he's receiving for the risk that he's taking when he's going into the ring. So both guys chose this as an option, and we move forward.
Do you think it favors either fighter, Nnamdi, the venue itself?
The venue favors nobody. That's why I'm still upset at Eddie Hearn, Anthony Joshua's promoter. Anthony Joshua is now fighting in front of non-UK fans. His families and everybody won't be there to give him that support. And it's crucial for this rematch, taking him to Saudi Arabia. Just what we call in the fight game, a money grab, you know, because this fight belongs to the UK. He will not have that home support, but who knows? Now we just have to wait till Saturday night.
I know a lot of our Voice of America listeners in Nigeria, where AJ has some strong family ties, as well as Europe and all over the world, are wondering when this fight will actually take place. What time is the ring walk for Ruiz Joshua 2?
Sonny, the ring walk is when you leave your dressing room walking towards the ring. The ring walk is going to be 11:45 p.m. in Diriyah, Saudi Arabia, 8:45 in the U.K., 3:45 p.m. on the East Coast. In Nigeria, it's 9:45 p.m. on the West Coast. Then we go straight to the first bell. The first bell is when the referee say, let's get it on, and the bell comes on. On the East Coast of the United States, 4 p.m., the U.K., 9 p.m., Nigeria, 8:45 p.m., Diriyah, Saudi Arabia, is at midnight. On the west coast of the United States, 1 p.m. So this is the time slot we're looking at for Saturday right here in the U.S. and Europe and Saudi Arabia.
Nnamdi, this is the first world heavyweight title fight ever staged in the Middle East. Do you get the sense that it's captured the attention of the Middle East?
Not really, because fights, we expect a lot. And these are not fight fans. And they will come out, and you know, the government has enough money to buy the tickets, to paper the stadium. They don't count on sales of tickets to make anything happen. So it will be a papered house. There are no boxing fans in Saudi Arabia. Few fans will travel in from the UK, just few from the US. So it's just not there, Sonny.
Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua both attended the pre-fight news conference in Saudi Arabia. And the photos, Nnamdi, of the two combatants, AJ, can you comment on his weight loss?
losing all these muscles, will it help or hurt Joshua? Well, a lot of folks said it will help in endurance, it will help in movement, because this fight is about movement. This fight is about power, you know. So, and it will help his endurance. But on the other hand, it may not give him that punching power, which he used in knocking down Andy Ruiz in the third round. And Andy Ruiz got off the canvas. So when you lose that weight and you drop Andy Ruiz again, Andy Ruiz may get up quicker this time.
Can you comment on the preparations by Ruiz and Joshua for their rematch?
Remember, Sonny, this time around, Andy Ruiz have enough time for camp. Last time, he didn't really have that much time. But this time, he was able to bring in sparring partners to demonstrate just the way Joshua would fight him fight night. Same with Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua brought people like Derek Chisora from Britain and the Zimbabwe and some other sparring partners, even Mexican sparring partners. So both camps are really ready for this fight, Sonny, and we look for a good fight.
Nnamdi, in some of our earlier discussions, you really stressed the need for AJ to make changes in both his corner and in the way he fights Andy Ruiz in the rematch. Do you think he's made the right adjustments?
Well, the first one we talked about, remember after the first fight, we talked about he cannot be stationary. He must be mobile. Well, that goes with the dropping of weight. But the team that took him to the first fight are still in the corner. And in the fight game, you can lose a fight in the corner. Because if you go back and look at when he was in trouble, he was looking at his corner, and the corner just didn't have it what to tell him to do. But hopefully, if we go from June 1 to December 7th, we're looking at approximately 6 months. Have Joshua been able to make those changes in 6 months? Lots of folks in the fight game believe that's not enough time to have all these adjustments made. For Andy Ruiz, just come back with the same blueprints, attack, big looping right hands, aggressive fighter he's always been. He's got a hand speed. He's got the power. He's hungry. I don't believe what other people say because he's been living large in California, buying Mercedes-Benz, buying a Lamborghini and Rolls-Royce and mansion. Well, don't hate on the kid. He fought for it. He worked hard. He deserves it. But is he still hungry? Don't forget, Sonny, this is an Aztec warrior from Mexico. They don't back off. They don't back down. They come to fight. You've seen the fight game. You know how Mexican fighters come at you? They won't stop. This is what could happen in Saudi Arabia Saturday night, Sonny.
So do you see Ruiz pressing forward, Nnamdi, being the aggressor rather than movement and dancing around the ring?
Well, go back and look at the first fight. He's a pressure fighter. His nickname is called the Destroyer. He's got to be about seek and destroy. He will come after Anthony Joshua. It's left for Anthony Joshua to decide what to do, to decide to use that stiff left jab, not just any lazy jab, strong left jab. Keep Andy Ruiz at the end of the jab. Man, you have the advantage, the height advantage. You have the long reach. Fight behind the jab. Put the rounds in the bank in the beginning of the fight. Don't push for the knockout, because that's where you get into trouble. And I've said it, Sonny, this fight can end up becoming a 12 boring rounds with no knockdown or no knockout.
Finally, Nnamdi, we were talking about Eddie Hearn, and you said it was a money grab by Hearn to stage this fight in Saudi Arabia. Break down the purses for both fighters.
Well, Anthony Joshua will go home with the biggest purse of his career. He's going to go back to the UK with a total of $80 million, Sonny. Andy Ruiz from Mexico will come back to California with $40 million. The government of Saudi Arabia, for the side fee and all that, put down $100 million for this fight. So when you add up pay-per-view in the UK, in America, foreign TV rights and all that, this fight could pull in more than $300 million. So the money is there. It's a money grab. But I don't believe this fight deserves to be in Saudi Arabia. This fight deserves to be in the UK.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta. At Friday's official weigh-in in Saudi Arabia, world heavyweight champion Andy Ruiz outweighed Anthony Joshua by nearly 47 pounds. Ruiz tipped the scales at 283.7 pounds, and Joshua weighed in at 237 pounds. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Council of East and Central Africa Football Association Senior Challenge Cup Tournament will kick off Saturday in Uganda. This will be the 40th edition of the CECAFA Cup, regarded as one of Africa's oldest football competitions. Host Uganda is using the tournament to prepare for the 2020 African Nations Championship, or CHAN, which will be staged in Cameroon in April. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
You're going to pass to him. So this big triangle causes us, gives us loads of options. Back in, Smichisa. It's in there. You're going now. Go, go, go. And now we're attacking. There's our two attacks.
Uganda Cranes national team football coach Jonathan McKinstry shouts instructions at his players as they train ahead of CECAFA Challenge Cup match opener against Burundi this Saturday. He says his players are in a fine form. McKinstry, who summoned only players from the domestic league, says he'll use the tournament to assess his players for the Cameroon CHAN Championships.
These days, training and these games help us progress. And yes, we're preparing for CHAN, but then when we get to CHAN, that's a preparation for AFCON. And AFCON's a preparation for World Cup. So it's all part of a process, and it's all part of, you know, growing these players up.
McKinstry is not new to the tournament, having lost the finals in 2015 when he was still Rwanda's national team Amavubi coach. He says he'll improve his record and win the trophy this time around. But it won't be easy, says Elvis Senono, a Uganda sports journalist.
From past experience, you know games between Uganda and Kenya have always been tight. You know Tanzania will also come here and be very competitive. Looking at the two groups, I would actually think the other group, the one without the host nation, Uganda, looks like the more competitive one.
That is Group B, which has Kenya, Sudan, Tanzania and Zanzibar, while Uganda is in Group A alongside Burundi, Eritrea, Somalia and Djibouti. Sports analyst Ismail Chionga says organizers should have more incentives to ensure that all the CECAFA members participate in the tournament.
It's always a tournament that puts test to the East African players, because most of the coaches go for players that ply their trade within their respective leagues, save for a few who at times summon international players. Like I've seen Kenya, they have one from Vasaland in Sweden.
Rwanda, Ethiopia, South Sudan, as well as the would-be visitors DR Congo, have pulled out of the tournament. Andrew Orieda is the tournament spokesperson. He says despite a few members having pulled out of the tournament, this year's competition will meet the expectations.
Most of the teams in the region have been improving year by year. So the few that are here, the nine that are here, not few, those are quite many, it's still going to be competitive. The other reason is Uganda and Tanzania have already qualified from the CECAFA region to play in the 2020 Africa Nations Championship. So this is like a rehearsal for them. So I'm very sure the two teams will take this very seriously.
Hosts Uganda boast of winning the competition a record 14 times, while neighbors Kenya follow with 7 times. Kenya are the defending champions for the tournament that will end on 19th December. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with African club football and the latest from the CAF Champions League competition. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. After a thrilling opening match day one for the lucrative mini-league stage, the 2019-2020 CAF Champions League action continues this weekend with 8 games taking place across the continent, as match day 2 is played on Friday 6th of December through Saturday the 7th of December 2019. Highlight will be in Group C as two former champions lock horns in what has been a classic CAF encounter in recent years. Morocco's Wydad will entertain South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns for the fifth time in the last three Champions League editions, including two encounters last season. In Group D, DR Congo's AS Vita will entertain Morocco's Raja in the repeat of the 2018 CAF Confederations Cup final, when Raja emerged victorious 4-3 on aggregate and then went on to claim the title. Other fixtures include Esperance of Tunisia welcoming JS Kabylie of Algeria, while Luanda Petro de Luanda of Angola will welcome US Alges, while Bulawayo Platinum of Zimbabwe will be hosting Etoile du Sahel. In Egypt, Cairo Zamalek will be hosting Primeiro de Agosto of Angola, while Ndola Zesco United will be welcoming TP Mazembe of the DR Congo to Zambia. In athletics news, an anti-doping seminar which brought together top Kenyan athletes aimed at curbing the use of banned substances and maintain the integrity of the sport is taking place in Eldoret in Kenya. World marathon record holders Eliud Kipchoge and Bridget Kosgei, as well as world 800 meters record holder David Rudisha, are among the cream of top athletes at the conference. Susan Kamau, the CEO of Athletics Kenya, said training of athletes is fundamental in the anti-doping war.
As Athletics Kenya, again, I want to reiterate that we are going to do everything within our powers to fight this doping money.
David Rudisha, 800 meters world record holder, said it is disturbing that Kenya is among countries with growing incidence of doping cases.
This is very alarming, and I'm happy because the Athlete Integrity Unit, IU, together with ADAC and Athletic Kenya, and also the government, they are doing their best to see that we get over these issues of doping.
In rugby news, the Springbok Women's Seven squad of South Africa will be playing in front of their home fans for the first time when they compete at the Cape Town Sevens on Friday the 13th of December. African champions, the Springboks are not one of the best 11 teams in the world, but are excited to have received an invite. The players are excited at the opportunity to showcase their talents on the world stage. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of our big football stories this week was Lionel Messi and Megan Rapinoe winning the men's and women's Ballon d'Or trophies in Paris. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on the French festivities, and he begins with an official announcement.
The Ballon d'Or France Football 2019 is Mr. Lionel Messi.
Barcelona football star Lionel Messi has won a record 6th Ballon d'Or for being the best player of the year as judged by France Football. Messi's 6th golden ball moves him ahead of rival Cristiano Ronaldo. The Argentinian struck 54 goals for club and country in the 2018-2019 season.
Como veíamos ahí en el video, hace 10 años recibí a mí.
I was awarded with my first Ballon d'Or here in Paris. I remember I came with my 3 brothers. I was 22 years old, and everything that was happening to me was unthinkable. Now, 10 years later, I have received the 6th one in a totally different and special moment in my personal life, with my wife and my 3 sons. He added, I'm aware of how old I am, and you enjoy more of this moment because of the time that retirement is coming, and it is difficult. I want to repeat that I still have many years left, but time passes by and everything happens so quickly. And among the women,
the woman Ballon d'Or France Football is, let me open the envelope, Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe won the women's Ballon d'Or for leading the United States to World Cup glory in July.
I can't believe I'm actually the one winning it in this field. It's been such an incredible year, and women's football is lucky to have every single one of these amazing players every year. And it pushes us, and it pushes me to be the best player that I can.
She scored 6 goals in the championship, earning her the golden boot as the top scorer and the golden ball as the top player. Ada Hegerberg was the 2018 Ballon d'Or winner and admires Rapinoe's outspoken style on everything from politics to equal pay for women in sports.
It's not always easy to be on the top of your game, but also use your voice to something good. And I think really she has carried the sport into the right direction. She hasn't been afraid of speaking up. And she doesn't speak up only by herself or for herself, but also for all of us. And I think we all should be inspired with that.
That's Norwegian football player Ada Hegerberg commenting on 2019 Ballon d'Or winner Megan Rapinoe. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that Ballon d'Or package.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the visiting Houston Rockets beat the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors by 10 points. As we hear now from the AP's John Letherby.
Houston's Ben McLemore had 28 points and a career-high 8 three-pointers as the Rockets defeated Toronto 119-109 at Scotiabank Arena. McLemore's night found himself 3 points shy of a career-high, going 9 of 18 from the field.
Got to give credit to myself, just continue to stand focused and continue, you know, shoot my shots. And, you know, my teammates did a good job of keeping my confidence high.
James Harden added 23 points.
We're good, especially when we're making shots. I mean, we've seen so many different defenses throughout the course of the year. Like tonight was our first time seeing this defense. But guys did an unbelievable job of moving their bodies and being ready to shoot.
Russell Westbrook, another triple-double. 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. Pascal Siakam was the Raptors' top scorer with 24 points. The win snapped the Rockets' 3-game road losing streak. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. John mentioned Pascal Siakam in his report. We also heard Amadou Gallo Fall, the president of the new Basketball Africa League, mention Pascal Siakam during Thursday's show. Siakam is from Cameroon, and he was named the most improved player in the NBA last season. Pascal also signed a big contract with Toronto during the offseason. And that wraps up the December 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
HIV/AIDS experts from the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention joined Rick Pantaleo and VOA health reporter Carol Pearson on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. They will talk about the progress made in helping those with HIV/AIDS and the ongoing fight to end this devastating epidemic. That is the Science Edition of Press Conference USA, this Saturday and Sunday.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using the National Science Foundation's Green Bank Radio Telescope say they discovered a neutron star that is the most massive ever detected. The researchers found that this neutron star packs a mass 2.17 times that of our Sun into a sphere that's a mere 30 kilometers in diameter. According to the researchers, this newly discovered neutron star is so heavy that if it had just a little more mass, it could have instead formed a black hole. Neutron stars are composed of the highly compressed remains of a giant star that exploded in a Type II supernova. This new discovery is also considered a pulsar, since observers here on Earth can detect the powerful beams of energy they emit from their magnetic poles. This neutron star spins so quickly that it would only take a couple of milliseconds for a full rotation. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 2019 has been the year of Ghanaians in the diaspora returning to their roots in their West African homeland. The year of return on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
In a show of support for the Hong Kong democracy movement, the U.S. Congress recently passed the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, which U.S. President Donald Trump signed into law. The House of Representatives also passed the Uyghur Act of 2019 to condemn China's treatment of its Uyghur population. Listen for it on Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.